We want to talk this morning about abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, where he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Isn't that worth a lot for us to know? That our work is not in vain if we're laboring in the kingdom of the Lord. Peter thought about these things in 2 Peter 3, verses 13 and 14, where he said, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless." Christ said, when he prepared to depart and go back to heaven, "My peace I give you, my peace I leave with you." That's a wonderful peace, isn't it? When we can have that kind of peace that Christ gave us and be pleasing in the sight of God, our Heavenly Father. As we think about that, we recognize that all of us sustain a fraternal relation to each other. The church is a fraternity. This is affirmed by Peter in the book of Acts in chapter 2 and 42, where he said, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." Christ is our brother. Matthew 12 and verse 50 says, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." You see that relationship in this fraternity that we have as we accept Jesus Christ as our brother. This fraternity then is bound together by love. That's what Paul said in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be you thankful." What a fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus and in the teaching of His Word and the sacrifice that He made on the cross. We really can't do without one another, can we? He says that relationship of fellowship that we have with one another is something that will pick us up and encourage us and make us after the Spirit of Christ. We might just illustrate this thought this morning by looking at a wheel and a tire. All of us have them on our automobiles. And we know if one of them fails to function, we have a problem, don't we? But if they work together, we can get on down the road because of that combination of help that they give to one another. It's like that when you and I seek to do the will of God. I don't know whether you consider yourself a wheel or a tire. It doesn't make any difference. It takes a combination of them working together to do the job that's set forth. Every Christian ought to attain 2 points in their Christian life. First, they ought to be able to love one another, to love God, to love Christ. We ought to be able to do that as Christians. And the second point is that we ought to be able to point out error in friends. In fact, Paul told us in Galatians 6 and verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." We need one another. We need God in our lives. We need to be sons and daughters of God, that we might be blessed throughout our lives. It's affirmed by Scripture that our work in the Lord should be steadfast. We should be settled in our mind that we need to be doing the work of the Lord. It needs to be fixed to the point that we're willing to follow the example of Jesus Christ in accomplishing those things that He left us here to do. This work, the Scripture says, we should be steadfast in the work that the Lord gives us to do. John 15, verses 6 and 7 says, "If a man abide not in me," that's Christ doing the speaking now, "if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." What a promise. You just think about that. If we abide in Christ, then we can ask for those things that the Father bestows upon children like us and be assured that it'll be done unto us. This work of the Lord that we have to do is to be done in love. In fact, in Ephesians 3 and verse 17, we find Paul saying that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in the law may accomplish the will of God. must be rooted in love and done in love. This work of the Lord that we do must be in faith, according to the example that Christ set forth for us. In Colossians 1 and verse 23, he said, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." So we need to walk by faith. And the only way that we can walk by faith is by hearing the Word of God over and over and over again. Because that's how faith comes. The Scripture says faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And that's important to us. We find that we must do the work of God according to the truth of God. That's the thing that Christ said in John 8 and verse 32 that would make us free. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Peter said in 2 Peter 1 verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." He's talking about the truth of the will of God. That word that directs us in the ways that we ought to go daily to really be pleasing in the sight of God as sons and daughters. And once we come into the faith and begin to do the faith, we must be unmovable in that. We can't be wishy-washy, in and out, drifting this way and that way. The Scripture says that we must be unmovable. In Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 16, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now sometimes we kind of wonder why the body is not being edified. Why it's not growing. Why it's not being built up. I think he tells us here why it's not many times. He says that every part of it has to be working. That the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body then builds up itself in love. And putting on that perfectness that we studied about back in the beginning of this lesson. I think, perhaps, that we need to look as to how we are to be unmovable. He says that we're to be unmovable always. We're to be steadfast, faithful, not in and out, but doing the will of God each day of our lives. He says that we need to be abounding in this work. That means putting forth an effort to accomplish these things that need to be accomplished. He says that we need to be busy about the work of the Lord. Not always doing some other thing out here, but he said that we're to be busy in the work of the Lord. There's three lines of work that's set forth by this text that we've introduced this morning. The first one is that we're to grow in grace and knowledge. That's the reason we keep studying the Word of God. That's the first thing that we need to do, is to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. Peter put it this way in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." God was glorified by the things that Christ did. And He continues to be glorified by the things that His sons and daughters do to promote the will of God here on earth. The Scripture indicates that we're to exercise ourselves by meeting together to worship. In fact, the Scripture says in Hebrews 10, verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." And the third thing that he points out that we need to do in regard to the Lord's work is engage in trying to save those that are lost. That's the reason Jesus said that He came to the earth, to seek and to save those that are lost. John 5, verses 19 and 20, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but whatsoever He seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doth the Son likewise." Jesus was always looking unto the Father, seeing the things that the Father was doing, and it says that the Son did these things likewise. "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. And He will save Him," or show Him, "greater works than these, that you may marvel." If we want to marvel then at the works of God, we do exactly as the Son did. We follow those things that we see the Father telling us to do through Him. He indicated that all things that He did because the Father showed Him these things. I think we may talk about what Job knew and how he knew it pretty soon, maybe next Sunday. But when we think about that, the same lesson applies to the work of the Lord that's set forth, that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Philippians 4 and verse 18, we find Paul saying, "For I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, and they send forth an odor of a sweet smelling, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing unto God." Paul was evangelizing, preaching the Word of God. We find that the church at Philippi was sending support unto him. And Paul says that I am full, having received those things that Epaphroditus brought, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. Then in Proverbs 16 and verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Let's just look at that again. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Who does that? The Lord. When does he do that? When our ways please the Lord, we're doing what he wants us to do. When we're accomplishing this work that we talked about in the beginning of this lesson, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, listen to it again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.